On shot first, and a discussion. I'm Sean.
I'm Josh.
I'm Donovan.
And I'm Wes.
And you're listening to Making Geeks Podcast, a podcast for makers, dads, and geeks, episode 135. That I couldn't think of anything better right now, so.
Like it.
What, Han shot first?
I didn't know that there was like this whole digital remake where they had Guido shoot and this like frame of Han doing it. Apparently I wasn't in the country when that happened, so it like passed over my head. And so the other day when I was watching random Star Wars videos on YouTube, I saw that thing. I'm like, that's horrible. Why are we going back to try and justify whether or not he shot for it? And it just looks so bad. Oh, it's like this digital repainting of his head. Just like it was terrible, terrible, terrible.
George Lucas in the special editions.
Yeah. I thought you said pawn shop first.
No, Han shot first.
I'm like, who's going to the pawn shop?
Is that why you're? I'm Josh.
Yeah, that's why.
I'm like, Josh, come on, you should know that reference.
Yeah, that's why there was an inquisitive inflection in my voice, because I was like, who's going to the pawn shop?
Okay. Well, with that,
and we're off to a wonderful start, like usual. How are you guys doing? What are you up to this week?
Well, I'm finishing my video from Maker Faire. I got a little, not Maker Faire. We were just talking about me from Workbench Con, and I realized I got a little overzealous while I was there and had about 230 shots to go through and cut 57 minutes worth of footage down to something a little bit more reasonable. So that should be out tomorrow. And then I am trying to finish up my Miles Morales headphone stand, doing it all the hard way, apparently, because that apparently is my thing, apparently. And so the video for that should be out next week.
I think the next video you should do entirely with Jurassic's ice pick.
I've used that quite a bit to actually pick ice, because something about our condenser and our freezer, it like crusts over with these big chunks of ice. And so I go in there with the ice pick and I'm like, I'm actually using an ice pick to pick ice.
Too literal.
Have you ever hit the sides of your freezer or a freezer when you did that?
No.
Oh, I did. Oh yeah.
What?
It shoots Freon all over the place and there your freezer is done.
Oh
yeah. We were in Europe. And I was at work, and like the same thing, the thing all iced over. And I was like, this is garbage. So I was hacking at it, and I got too close to the top. And it was like, psh, it went all crazy. And then it just, the Freon, I guess, circulated through the walls. No more freezer. And I had to do a fundraiser to buy a new refrigerator for work.
Well, and you live to tell the tale.
So I don't ever use an ice pick to pick ice anymore because I'm afraid.
Oh.
Had experience. Let's see, I've been getting my office set up. If you're watching in the YouTube thing, I'm not lazily sitting on a couch with a microphone balanced on my chest. And so my wife and I converted half of our downstairs into like a shared office for tonight. And I got to put up all my geeky, nerdy, I love me stuff back here. So, and we have sworn the children to stocks and the guillotine if they come over here. So this is our like child free zone in the house. So it's quickly becoming my like most favorite sanctuary.
I love how your filament looks like Batman over your shoulder.
Oh yeah. It's got little it's ears.
Like, yeah.
Peeking out.
Yep.
So yeah, did that. And then my wife wants a big planter. So I've got like a giant walnut planter that I'm making for her. All the things will eventually get done.
Maybe hey, Wes.
Cool.
Let's see. Marcus, who was on the podcast last week, he was supposed to leave last Friday, I think, and ended up, I guess, having so much fun. He stayed an extra couple days, so he was there throughout the whole weekend. You're here throughout the whole weekend. And we went to Lowe's and bought a whole bunch more like tiles and things to experiment with the laser, and had some pretty cool results. This is one of the first ones I'm holding up to the camera for the YouTube channel. But if you're following me on Instagram, you saw this post. It's a Rocket Raccoon laser engraved into like a porcelain or ceramic tile. And it actually kind of worked. It's very subtle, but it allows you to kind of color it with a Sharpie. And then you can take a dry erase marker, no, a Sharpie or a dry erase marker to color it in. And then you can use a magic eraser lightly with some water, and it'll actually take the excess Sharpie off the unlasered part, the actual glossy part, and it leaves the other part behind. So it makes it kind of look like a print on porcelain. And I guess if you wanted to use this in a bathroom, you would like spray it with some sort of sealer.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I love the vintage comic books.
Yes, those are
you did
over here. So these are glass tiles with a painted back. You can kind of see the depth in the camera there. They're kind of crazy.
And you etched the paint, right?
I etched the back of them. Yep, in the paint, and it looks like a Sharpie or some sort of marker, but it's straight off the printer.
Burn paint.
I guess. I don't know why it's black.
That coating is on the back of the tile?
Yeah, they're almost like little black burn bubbles, I guess.
Interesting.
If you look really closely, you see like dots. It's almost like pointillism in a way. It's kind of neat. But then you can see in the camera that there's light coming through where it is black, which is kind of crazy. I think if I add like a backlight to it, like a red or something, that would look kind of sweet. I don't know. I need to experiment with some more with those. So yeah, I did some of the vintage comic book covers. One of our friends on Instagram, Brent, he asked for Action Comics number 1 with Superman. So I'm going to send that to him, which came out pretty cool. And then finally, I'll hold up one more. So this one's a color test that I did with the Ninja Turtles. So using the same technique of the Sharpie, I just took different Sharpies to the different turtles to colorize them according to their...
I was wondering how you did that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It looks pretty neat.
That's cool. You could totally geekify a bathroom.
Yeah, and we're supposed to redo our bathroom soon. And Catherine hasn't said no yet, so...
Oh man, what kind of bathroom theme geeks there? Geek bathroom geek themes? Bubble bobble is the only thing I could think of that would be like
bubbles.
Yeah, like bathroom
Mario. He was a plumber.
Boom! Like we have a backsplash like around the back of the countertop, I guess, and we're maybe you do like different comic book covers or something. I'm not really even sure.
Do like a Windmaker Zelda. Cool.
Yeah, true.
Maybe like for the inside, like the bath or shower area.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you could take like the little water, the water elements, and do
like the Zora
around the tub.
Stuff?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that'd be so cool.
If only that's we had awesome. A bathtub in that. It's a half bath, but maybe I could fit one in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So if you're doing like a backsplash in a kitchen, you could etch like recipes on the backs of those tiles and just do an entire backsplash with That'd recipes cool. that you use.
That would like be that. Cool.
But you could also use them as trivets, like the square ones or coasters or something like that. I've seen people do that online. And I've got some other materials I want to experiment with. I got some cork circles off Amazon. I got some slate pieces of tile that I want to try. Just different ceramic-y kind of stuff just to see what the laser can do. And my end game for this of all these experiments is to have like several different videos in like a playlist of can the K40 laser blank 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 blank, and then just because I had a ton of questions of can this do that, can it do this, and that's
will it blend
will it blend. Yeah, so I'm gonna do a pancake, I think, and probably some chocolate, but I don't want anything too crazy. Like a hot dog, even though I'm tempted because people are like, is it going to hurt your finger if you touched it? I'm like,
didn't William Osmond already do that?
Yeah, William Osmond already did. I think that's
West knows from experience that can hurt your finger.
Yes. That's a road well traveled, so I probably won't do that. I don't want to like gunk up the inside. So even though like it has FDA logo on the literal laser cutter, I don't know why there's FDA logo on there. It's very odd. So
is there anything that lasers don't usually etch? I mean, I know that's part of what you were already saying is you want to do a list of or videos of what would and what don't work. But
yeah, I don't want to be too experimenty with it because there are definitely some items. If you laser them, it's hazardous.
Right.
So anything with vinyl in it, like vinyl records or anything PVC or any
ABS.
Is that ABS? Yes.
Yeah.
ABS leaves and PVC leak out chlorine gas.
Yep.
Yeah, there's at the laser cutters at Fab Lab, there's a whole long list of things like do not put these in the laser cutter. Here's what you can put in the laser cutter, and here's what you can. It's a big old sign right by the laser cutter.
Can you take a picture of that for me and send it to me?
Sometime? Yeah, totally. Yep.
So you're not just trial and error.
That'd be a good reference.
Yeah. I don't believe this. Oh, and our friend Robert from RWR Solutions, I think, on Instagram. He came over. He's another local maker, and he gave me a coaster that he said, oh, here's a piece of slate you can try. And I tried it, and as soon as I started lasering it, like it smelled really bad in the workshop, and I quickly realized that that was a fake slate coaster. It was probably plastic of some material that I shouldn't have been doing. And it like engraved super deep, too. And I'm like, porcelain barely engraved. I can't imagine slate would like not be similar to porcelain. So I stopped that pretty quickly. And ordered some on Amazon.
Before you died.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. Good on you, Wes.
Yep. Gotta be careful.
Can't feel my tongue.
Hey, guys. How's this look?
I haven't been up to much. My school is going through accreditation right now. So I haven't been able to spend a whole lot of extra time making or building anything. So after next Wednesday, I'm hoping to get back to making projects and finishing the one video I've had about 75% done for like a month and a half now. And hopefully move on to the other projects that I've lined up. I shared a project with Wes over the weekend that I'm keeping secret for a while. I'm just hoping I can make it happen. So
accreditation, are you like being evaluated by like the state?
They probably have something similar like in the Midwest or on the East Coast. But it's something called WASC out here. It's Western Accreditation of Schools and Colleges. And depending on what your accreditation is, you might get a 3, 5, or 6-year accreditation. We had a 6-year accreditation, but now the time has come up again and we have to renew it. So there's like a 200-page book that has to be written about the school programs, improvements, all of our stats and numbers, and everything that we do in the classroom for the students. And it's a big process. We've been working on it and prepping for almost 2 years.
Are you a charter school?
No. No, this is
mandatory. Public school.
Yeah, it's mandatory for every public school.
Really?
Yeah. California tends to be stricter than a lot of other states when it comes to some of this. So our actual visit is next Monday through Wednesday. And because I am a department coordinator now, I'm a lot more involved than I was before. So I have to attend all the meetings and all that fun stuff. In fact, I have to go in on Sunday to greet the committee when they arrive.
Wow. So,
yeah, fun stuff. I'll be happy.
Sounds like when I used to excuse me. It sounds like when I used to work at Lockheed and we had the START treaty, when like the Russian weapons inspectors would come over, and like everything would shut down, and it was super crazy. Everything had to be inspected, and everything had to be pulled out on like the most meticulous and ridiculous way. And it was like, oh man, they're here, and everybody had to wait by their phone. Because like maybe they'll show up this day, maybe they'll show up that day, and it's like, oh, they're here, it's a go, and everybody would like scramble and do a whole bunch of stuff that they would have to get set up or get orientation packets, and yeah, it was nuts.
Well, I'm sure we'll do fine, but if we didn't, because there's a lot of schools that don't, it makes it really tough for them to get their accredited or their accreditation extended again, and then they actually have to be reviewed on a more constant basis, and it's just a pain to be micromanaged that way.
You should show them your Viking ship.
Well, it's kind of hard to miss when you walk into the school. I'm sure they'll see it.
You're like, I bet nobody else has a Viking ship. I'm just saying. I mean, you don't got to worry about math or any other crap. We got a Viking ship. we're so far gone, all that, and we put our efforts into cool stuff like this.
It'll be fun when they walk into my classes now, because I'm not teaching English anymore, so it's animation computer science, and the students aren't really interactive or, you know, talkative, because they're over the computer just either drawing or coding. So there's really not a whole lot to witness. So I have to kind of create situations that demonstrate how I teach new material.
Wow.
That Fight Club animation you did the other day was pretty great.
Thanks. I'm going to have my students do something similar for a final. They have to take a line from a movie and then kind of like act and animate to it and hopefully do something fun. I was going to do the end speech from Rocky IV, where he's thinking like everybody can change. So I want to have like a little kid with a big black eye and like boxing gloves kind of, you know, miming it or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Cool.
That reminds me of an animation club, I guess. It was an online forum or something I used to be a part of. I think it was a Yahoo group or something ages ago. It was called the 10-Second Club. So basically they would submit, I think it was every once a month or something. Yeah. where they would have like a movie clip of some, you know, a part in some movie, and then everybody had to animate that scene like with their own characters and their own rigs and everything. And it was sort of like a showcase. I think there were some voting components to it as well, but it was kind of fun.
That's pretty cool. Like a draw this in your own style challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Should do that same thing, but with like 3D modeling. Throw out a problem or throw out an object. Make you have 30 minutes to make this thing and see how differently people do it.
Yeah. You were talking about learning Fusion and starting off by finding a problem and then fixing it with Fusion. And ironically, that same day, my huge 1K LED light that I used for filming fell, and the glass housing that goes over the LED light to diffuse the light broke. And so I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to order a new piece. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, maybe this is one of these opportunities. Then I was like, well, I could like, maybe I could print different colored casings and then they can act like as a gel for the light, so I can have like a green casing, a red casing, a blue casing. I don't know how well the ABS or the PLA would do as a casing for a 1K LED. But either way, it might be a good experiment in learning how to do Fusion in a way that's applicable to something that I need.
Absolutely. Sounds like a good excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty excited about that. I'm like, hey, this is the thing that Josh was talking about.
It's happening. It's happening.
It's working. Yeah, I did the same thing the other day. Like, we had a new dust collector, and the motor shroud that covers up the fans and keeps your fingers from getting chopped off was all bent. It was damaged in shipping, and the motor couldn't turn over. So I threw that thing off and got in Fusion really quick. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty simple. We just revolve this and punch some holes in it so that air can be blown out and put some holes. And it was like 3 hours later, we had a fan shroud. I was like, I don't need to return this to the sender and then wait a week or 2 weeks to get another one. I'm like, yeah, let's fix it right now.
Yeah. It's customized.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting started.
What were we talking about today? Oh, my bad. No.
I was just tacking onto the end saying I'm looking forward to learning Fusion too. I've been watching. I spent an hour watching Fusion videos, and then the next day I sat down in front of Fusion and couldn't remember anything that I watched.
I know that happened to me.
We're talking about doing some like behind the scenes stuff, because I mean I do a model on just about every project that we make, and some people have been asking about it. I think we may have a bits video coming up about 3D modeling, and we may have like a second channel behind the scenes, kind of like walkthrough of some stuff. That's something that we've been talking about.
So, I liked your behind the scenes video that you guys put out today. That was pretty.
Oh yeah, that was
entertaining.
Yeah, that was Anthony's like first run at editing stuff, and it was really funny. So it was very different from our normal I like to make stuff style. So it was That was really fun. He did a good job.
So what are you talking about today? Sorry.
Damn it!
I know, our timing's all off right now.
Y'all gotta jump. You gotta eat that quiet time.
Maybe you should start a little spin-off video series, Donovan, as you're learning, and like title it Confusion 360. Cover your process of learning.
Yeah. That would be fun. And maybe entertaining, but maybe boring.
All right, Sean, you're welcome to proceed, sir.
Yep, everybody shut it up.
Okay, what are we talking about tonight? Because I don't remember the topic now.
Donovan, go.
Okay, so my
you're
kids...
like a switchboard operator.
Yeah, my kids were got our costume bin out. So if you've watched my stories today, you may or may not have seen some costume changes telling people that we were having the podcast live tonight. But anyways, in the costume bin was one of my old projects, which was the Duck Hunt rubber band gun. And I was looking at it and it got me thinking, it's like, what do you guys do with your old projects? Because I'm one of the things for me in my channel and the things that I do, they have to fall within two categories. They have to be fun and they have to be functional. So I can't make something that's fun just for the sake of making it, like a, you know, 39-inch long transformer bazooka gun that doesn't do anything. But
that'll change.
Yeah, I know. And so I have to justify the time that I'm putting into making something to have it be functional. But it can't just be functional. I want it to be fun as well. So fun and functional are my qualifications for picking the projects that I do. And so most of the time, you know, we use the things that I make regularly or irregularly. But I was like, man, for guys like you guys, where you make these cool projects or these big projects or, you know, whatever, it's like, what do you do with them afterwards? So I thought I'd ask you guys, what do you do with your projects after the dust has settled and the videos uploaded and, you know, all that kind of good stuff?
I'm trying to think back of the projects I actually made in the videos that people would have context, not just on like Instagram where they would see updates. My stuff is more functional. Like if my stuff is fun, then that's cool. But I build things either like serve a need or to practice a skill. And so whenever I try to learn something new, I go crazy wild and I do that thing every single day for like a month. So when I got my CNC, I cut something every single day. So I have at least a month's worth of, you know, 30 something projects because every day I cut something. And the same thing when I got my lathe, like I turned something every day to try to get not muscle memory, but just like I want to learn progressively. So I have little tiny things all over the place. I made my son a desk, and the bigger furniture pieces that we had early on, because I made most of my videos when we were in the house in Georgia, like that stuff is gone. It's been sold to people. And then the RV and all that stuff that we did was sold. So I've made money off most of the stuff I've made in a video because my videos never made any money. So I had to monetize them somehow. But like with the office that we're setting up, I found boxes of stuff that we kept in storage and stuff we didn't want to sell or get rid of. And so I found like bowls that I've made. Here's the thing. This is why I talked about making CNC projects. I made an NES game on the X-Carve, and I made my own NES game label.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and so this was one of those, like, I mean, I don't know if it's project video or whatever worthy, but this is that example of, like, I want to make a thing, and I want to be able to practice this skill. And so they're not, like, these big, outlandish, it takes a week, it takes a whatever, and all the production value and the cost. It's like, I need to make a thing really quick just to keep gaining experience. And so my stuff is speckled all over the place. So that's one of my answers.
Let's see. Mine, the nursery is still in Grant's room. It's wall decoration, so I can't do much else with that. His bookcase is still there. He's using that every day. The Thwomp, the Cement Thwomp Raspberry Pi project. It's normally in my game collection corner of the basement, where I have like all the different retro titles like on the wall and everything. And it just kind of sits there as like another piece that I have like some random items in there as well, like random amiibo in boxes and other things kind of set up as like a little mini museum kind of thing. And so he just normally sits there. Hand carved stamps, video. Let's see, those stamps I use every time I send a piece of mail out, I'll stamp with a random stamp, either Gears of War or The Legend of Zelda, like Hyrulean Crest, Hylian Crest, or I have like a Stormtrooper one randomly sitting here that I've done. Like I'll stamp the envelopes with it, which just adds like a little fun touch. I know when I get a piece of mail, if I had a crazy stamp on it, that would set it apart from the other pieces, even if the inside was nothing of value. Like a sticker, the envelope's cool. So I do use those. And what else? The tiles I brought, I won't use. So those are kind of, I don't know what they're going to, where they're going to go. I have some other projects that I've sort of started or just experiments, and they're kind of scattered in the workshop. So they're like neat little Easter eggs when people come over. They'll spot random things from different Instagram posts or what have you. The electric guitar from Rock Band that I have control of my X-Carve is still functional. So that's fun. It's hanging up over there. And me explaining that to Marcus, he's like, wait, you control your X-Carve with a Rock Band guitar? I'm like, yeah, it said you could use a controller to do it. So why not a Rock Band controller? And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
That was the look that people at Invenables gave me when I told them about it when I was there. They're like, wait, hold on, he does what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe like the next people one will do.
Be the, yeah, that's right. I was thinking maybe like the Power Glove would be cooler. Or like a Power Pad or DDR or something.
Power Pad, you would have to run. you would only control one
yeah, like micro inch. I need to do that.
That would be awesome. I
got one for the original Xbox. Okay,
you should have to run for it to spin, for the spindle to spin. Ooh.
Okay.
Or you know, just exercise bike.
Let's see, the Duresta. I think I had like a chocolate Duresta video. The mold is still in the kitchen. Every once in a while, for like the different conferences, I'll do another pour of the chocolate, and if Jimmy's there, I'll give him the chocolate Duresta. He's learned to expect those. So actually I showed up for one and I didn't have that, and he was actually disappointed that he couldn't bite his own head off on his Instagram stories as he did before. But
set a precedent.
Yeah, it's like half and half for me. And mine, my projects never serve much of a purpose. They're just fun to make, or there's an idea in my head that I just have to get out, or it drives me crazy in some fashion. I mean, I don't have a lot of requirements. My top requirement is if it's been done already. That's not exclusive, but it makes me more want to do the project more because no one's tried it. Or maybe I have a twist on it that I haven't seen.
I think a lot of my projects are similar to Wes's in terms of intention. At least some of them. So some are experiments. Whether it was the Wood Rose or the I called it like the Infinity Heart, even though the Pac-Man set was really kind of an experiment, and because I had no idea if I was going to be able to do it to begin with, and it wasn't something I was going to be practicing off camera just to make sure I could get it right for the camera. I don't want to put that much time into the prep for it. I know that some people do. Where a lot of the projects are decorative, I actually have some functional stuff that's still around the house. So it's kind of all over the place. One interesting thing is, I haven't shown this, is I have like 5 projects that have broken or fallen apart. That they did not stay together. So like the Wood Rose, the stem broke because it was end grain to end grain glued. So I had to pull that apart. I put a metal rod in it and epoxied it back together to fix it. my daughter's Wonder Woman light that I made for her. That fell apart. So I had to epoxy that back together. What else? I don't know. There's a lot of things. The table, the outdoor table that I made, just the moisture in the air, you know, the wood really shifted. I have one end completely hanging off. So I have to go and fix that. So it's all different reasons. It's not just, you know, one thing that I've done with them. There's a lot of them that I'm constantly using, but about half of them were mainly just experiments in decorative and sitting on a shelf.
Hmm.
And in a lot of ways, most of them, I don't care what happens to them anymore. Once it was done for the video, I don't really care much anymore.
Yeah.
At one time, because like even like the Wood Rose, I had a lot of people asking me to make them for them. And after I made that one, I don't want to make any more of these, really.
Yep.
And for what I would have to charge, people probably wouldn't want to pay the price.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't make more because they would have all fallen apart based on my previous construction.
What's the warranty on this?
Roses don't last forever, man.
That's right.
Oh, man. Is there something that you guys have made with the intention or with the hope that you would use it frequently, but then never used it?
See, my Raspberry Pi arcade that we hid in the clock, we used it in the RV because it sat next to the TV, but now we don't. Like, my TV's mounted to the wall, and I have like a cable pass through, so I don't see any wires dangling down. Like, it goes through the wall and then down and then comes out a hole in the bottom to where our little entertainment center is. And it's a pain to get any more HDMI cables through there than I already have. So I don't know. It's still a clock. It has a Raspberry Pi stuck to the back with the, but we don't use that anymore. I don't know. Most of my things, like, and I guess I'm interested to hear projects that, you know, of yours, Donovan, because I have a hook to this. I have a theory, maybe, to all of our kind of projects that we've made and where they are now and the kind of purpose behind it. So, I mean, what are some of the stuff that you've made and where are they now?
Well, kind of like Sean, a lot of the stuff that I made is no longer in existence. Like the Millennium Falcon Theater. My son decided to, I don't know, WWE on top of that for some odd reason. And completely shattered it. So that went the way of the burn pile. And there's other things like the collapsible table and chair set that we made for the 2x4 challenge with the Pac-Man pixel art and whatnot that we, you know, we used those to the point that they just kind of fell apart. And then my Zelda table, I've been using the heck out of that. And it's starting to chip out in a lot of the places where I did the inlay. And I'm like, oh, man, I should have like epoxied over like everything to keep from doing that.
We talked to you about that, too.
I know. But and so I don't know how much longer that one's going to last, although I do have another workbench in the works that I'll, you know, eventually replace that as my workbench. But there's one, my Thror throne phone dock is one of my, like, I had so much fun making that thing, and I thought it turned out great. I think it looks cool and it's practical, and I never use it because it's huge. And it got in the way of, you know, being on the, you know, kitchen counter by where we normally charge our phones and whatnot. And so I needed to find a place for it. And unfortunately, that place just happened to be in a storage box hanging from my ceiling in my shop. So that was one of those ones that I'm like, I want to use this more often, but I don't. So it's kind of a small collection of things that if I go to like a show or, you know, whenever I do Maker Faire or whatnot, I can pull that out and, you know, have something to display for people to look at and be like, hey, this is the kind of stuff I make. This is what I do.
Could you modify it so it's like a business card holder?
Probably. Yeah, I could. I mean, the front of the chair is detachable because I put magnets and whatnot in it. So you can unclip and clip it, so I can modify that to just be a business card holder. Yeah. There are other things that I could probably do with it, but yeah, just haven't had the heart yet.
So I guess my theory, or maybe it's just an observation, like when I stopped making videos, like for my own channel, it was really liberating. I mean, I guess to remove myself from that element of the community, and it made the stuff that I made like way more purposeful, and I could spend the amount of time I needed to spend on something to make it like last, or to be so customized, or the quantity of things that I could make, like the turnover was so much faster because I didn't care about recording it or having to take time to edit the video and to do whatever. But they're not big wow ideas like you guys have, like making a K2SO like bike helmet. Like that was a cool video.
That's cool. Another one that is no more because it got broken. But
so I don't know, like I'm looking around this room and I'm thinking through the house that we moved into, and like so many things that I've made and I've built because we just didn't have stuff. Like we sold everything. We were in the RV, and like all these pictures that are on the walls. I don't know. You guys can't really see them, but I used to work in a frame shop. So like I made all those picture frames, or I made my dining room table and like stuff like that. And so do you think that the tangible project that you guys are talking about is less as important for you as the innovative idea to make that project? Like, is it like, ooh, I can make a K2SO helmet. Like, oh, that's awesome. And then you make it. But if there were a pie chart of like excitement, does your excitement lie more in coming up with or satiating your need to make the thing rather than having it in it just existing in your life forever?
For me, I think it's kind of an interesting – it's a really interesting question in and of itself, because I'm thinking about my skill as a maker, the things I like to make, and the things that I need to make. So what would be a good example or a good comparison? There's things that I've made and done that I actually have and use every day that I never filmed. And one of the reasons why I don't film them is because I know that I'm not very good at that one thing. I could do a good job on it and it'll last, but I don't think it's going to make for a good video. And I was making a table or something, and I'm thinking, wait, you know what? Why is somebody going to watch my video? They should go watch Matt Cremona or Jay Bates. And I don't think I could bring as much value in that video. But if I'm making something smaller, like the Rose or the Pac-Man thing, I think there's more entertainment behind it that's going to make somebody want to watch it a little bit more. I'm not worried about the long-lasting effect or a certain skill other than almost like spectacle, unfortunately. But it's the reality of a lot of the things that I choose to do.
So your criteria has to have like a wow factor.
It's not necessarily a criteria. I think it's more of a confidence thing.
Okay.
To not make it just because everybody else has already made it.
No, it's not even because of that. It's more along the lines of, I don't think I'm going to do a good enough job on that I might want to showcase it to show other people. Because building a table or something structural, that kind of matters to me when I show other people. You know, if this is a chair you're going to be sitting on, well, I need to make sure that it's done right, and I don't have that kind of confidence in doing that yet. You know, because otherwise I'm just going to point everybody to watch Matt Cremona and the furniture that he makes. It's phenomenal.
I kind of forgot what your question was. So your question was, is it more the idea of making the thing rather than having the thing? Was that your...
Yeah, are you more satisfied by proving to yourself that you can take a crazy idea and make it a real thing than you are about having that real thing lasting or being like quality is not the word, but like a steadfast thing? Is it just, is your excitement in the project, if your excitement graph like dip after the thing is done, and you're like, yep, I did it. I was wondering if I could, I did, yay. And then after that, it just kind of trickles off.
Well, my excitement typically is like, through the roof when I'm coming up with an idea and trying to design it and figure it out, and then it falls straight through the floor while I'm making it, because if I do things the wrong way or the hard way, And so it's a pain in the butt. And I get to the point where I just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to keep using a coping saw to cut out all these things. This is terrible. I hate this. Why am I doing this? But I don't know. For me, my ultimate goal is to try and inspire parents to make stuff with their kids. Like that's like the overarching thing for my channel and why I do videos and why I'm writing a book and why I'm doing all of this is to try and inspire people to make things, whether it's to make them for themselves or whether, you know, specifically for parents to make them with their kids or to kids to make them with their parents, you know, however you want to look at it. And so when my excitement for the thing is more in the prospect of the effect that it can have on other people, intentionally or unintentionally. So for example, like the Mjolnir mallet that I made, I made that because I needed a mallet and I wanted a cool mallet. And so I made it a Mjolnir mallet, not really thinking of anything beyond that. And then when I was at Maker Faire, Luke Owen, the cycle crosscutter came out to me and told me that, watching that video is what inspired him to start making the mallets he does. And I don't know if you guys have seen his mallets, but they are amazing, like leaps and bounds beyond anything I could do. And, you know, he's like selling one for charity now, not charity, but like to this maker fundraiser and all this other kind of stuff. And like the things that he's doing with his mallets is just phenomenal. And it was kind of humbling to hear that like my little dorky lightning bolt out the garage bad hair joke mallet video was what inspired him to start doing that. And it's like that's those moments,
you can't ask for better than that. Yeah
are why I'm doing this. So my excitement lies maybe not my excitement lies yes in the process of coming up with the thing, maybe not having the thing, but the most of it is coming from the impact that it could potentially have on other people.
For a lot of my projects, the ones that I make for other people, which aren't very often, but things that I make for other people, I tend to focus more on the end result than the initial creation. So like for the nursery for Grant, like I wanted something that would kind of be inspiring to him and stuff, like not necessarily because I made it, but sort of because I made it. Like I had some pictures of mine that my dad gave me. He was an artist as well growing up, and they were like pastel and like charcoal. Like one was like a clown. It was super creepy, but after I got past the creepy factor, I like really appreciated the fact that like my dad made that, and like he had passed away when I was in eighth grade, so having that like outlast him like in a physical form is sort of super cool, you know. And I, not that we expect to be in this house where he would have that, you know, room specifically, and he probably would get sick of looking at Mario all the time when he's 17. He's like, I don't want this damn room anymore, you know. I'm sure it's going to be an office at some point, but just to know that I made that for him, you know, that was my driving factor. And especially for the bookcase, granted I had never made a bookcase before. That was my most intensive like woodworking projects before and since. But I wanted to have like an heirloom kind of piece that could pass down or that could outlast me kind of thing, and have people like ask them about it and stuff. I think that'd be really cool. But some of the other projects, like, you know, some other throwaway stuff, I could care less what happens to it afterwards, but those were like the initial investigation of the process or figuring something out, like getting that achievement of, oh, now I know how to do casting concrete after five attempts, you know, or whatever. And there's sort of like a little mini achievement I get. It's like a maker high, I guess, from getting that accomplishment of, oh, I actually put the time into doing this when I didn't know how to do it before. And now I can hopefully show other people, like you're saying, Don, like inspire people to try it. I don't really feel I put that across in my videos, that these are the first times I've tried most of these things. The storytelling wise, I don't really demonstrate that, I don't think. But if you listen to me, you know, us on here or Instagram, you'll see that, like, a lot of times those are the first times I've accomplished or attempted to accomplish a certain goal in a material or a process or something. So it's just the exploration is sort of the most interesting, the most driving highest driving factor for me is just the initial. And I would agree with you that, like, following suit and, like, keeping up with the same energy that you had at the beginning to follow it through to the end is difficult for me. That's definitely one of my less desirable traits. So I have a lot of projects that I have started, like, maybe the first 10% of, just to get it out of my head, because it's, like, nagging me constantly. Like, when I'm driving, a lot of times I drive without listening to music, and so these thoughts are, like, in my head, like, when I go to sleep and wake up, and I have to do something to get them out. And maybe it's just an exercise, and maybe it's just like a physical sketchbook, like a lot of people sketch to get these ideas out of your head. Maybe it's just I'm making something enough to get that out, to satiate that desire, and then I have the freedom to revisit that and continue it. But at a certain point, from an external perspective, that looks like it's not as desirable. Oh, he's starting and stopping all these projects. You know, you can't finish something through, but maybe that's just part of the process and something I figure out in that first 10% unlocks something that allows me to do a project or start on a project down the line that I would not have been able to even attempt if I had not figured out the first 10% on a previous one. So, and that's happened before to me as well. So who can say?
Yeah. Because I love the concept, or I love being able to solve problems. And so I look at, like, we talk about the merit badges that you have for all the different things that you kind of skills that you've acquired. And I think my overall goal as a dad and as a man is to, like, be able to figure out a solution, like, as humanly as I can in whatever situation I'm presented with. Like, I want to be MacGyver. I'm going to look around and go, like, oh, this is a problem. Let's fix it like this. Or it could be done X, Y, Z. It could be done these different ways. And so, but, like, a project in the house, it's a tiny little problem. Like, oh, you want to hang that picture up. Like, boom, I'll make a picture frame. And then it could be just a square, or, like, oh, we need a table. Like, and then having those skills, like, that you've acquired through those merit badges or through repetition or through, like, pushing yourself past a beginner project. Like, how can I make that table? Because I can do that. Like, what else can that table do? And so it's solving a problem first and foremost. And then it's, how can I learn? How can I take this thing to the next step? Because I've made one before. Now I'm going to do it again in a different way. But it fascinates me, this weird environment that we live in. And now the environment that I work in every single day, like the differentiation with making content and making, like, a thing, to where if there was a balance being, like, some people, or not in a bad way, like, there are people that just want content. Like, they want the visibility, they want numbers, they want to grow, they want to be, like, one of the a tent pole in the community. And that's not saying that they sacrifice quality to get the content, but a lot of people, like, getting the content is more important than making a thing that lasts a long time. And I just wanted to know your perspective on those things. So, thanks, guys.
Yeah. I like Josh in the comments saying that projects and videos have to have the wow factor to be successful. And I look at Bob's stuff I look at Bob's stuff in comparison to, like, other stuff that I've watched on YouTube lately, and, like, just size and scope a lot of the things that you guys do together. Because I'm like, I tend to do smaller projects, whereas you guys, I think, tend to do, like, larger projects. And then I look at Wes, who does very meticulous, insanely detailed, like, small projects. And just like he was saying, the wow factor of videos. Like, it's hard not to see, like, the larger, you know, the large scale projects as having the wow factor. But I almost look at it like, I really like the smaller detailed projects just because of the craftsmanship and the artistry that can come with it. Because I think it shows more in the, you know, in the small things than, you know, big stuff that you can find out there on the YouTubes.
I don't think that's an easy thing to kind of come to grips with either way, because it's on both sides of the spectrum. You have channels that are really popular because of the big things they do or the outrageous things they do. And you have channels that are, you know, have content where they're making a lot smaller things. And I think a lot of it has to do with the person that's being, you know, that's putting on the video and, you know, who they're watching. Bob's developed a huge audience and following over the last 5 years. You know, take a look at Bobby Duke. You know, only the last 2 years, look how small his projects are. But he is the draw. He is the entertainment in that video.
Yeah. His bolt to a knife video is 56 million.
Yeah. My kids will be around the house my kids will go around the house going, I want that. And they'll start doing the funny walk. And you know, as amazing as his projects are, what he's able to do and the art behind it, I think he is the draw. So there's all sorts of reasons for, you know, a video being successful or not successful. It's not easy to make, you know, sense of either way.
I think with the example you gave of Bob doing bigger projects like that, it's an ebb and flow. Like, we sit around a table and go, God, can we do a small project now? I'm kind of tired of doing all this stuff that takes forever, and it's these massive scope projects that are done over a month. And like, can we just do something small, please? Like, let's make a yo-yo again. You made a yo-yo one time. Let's do that. Like, so I don't think that scale is it correlates, because I mean the content that we make on that channel is purposely varied because we can make whatever we want to make. I mean, that's the standard that we've set. But every day there, like my perspective on that content versus a project, especially working, and I like to make stuff, is I'm a problem solver. We have an idea and it's silly and it's crazy, or it's practical and pragmatic. Either way, we need to make it. So, and if it's pragmatic and practical, like I want to make it so that I don't have to touch it again. And it's maybe my touch of laziness is that if I make a thing, I don't ever want somebody to come back to me. Go like, oh, it broke, or oh, it did this. Like, no, like, go away. You have it now. Don't ever come back to me. Just enjoy it for the rest of your life, and I don't ever want to know. I'm assuming that everything is fine, and if I ever hear contrary to that, like if something I make broke, like, oh my God, that I got to make it again, and I don't have time to make it again. I don't want to do that. So, but the problem solving bit is always that piece that makes me the happiest. And Wes, like you're saying, like, ooh, yes, I can do this thing really quick. Like, let me go out and try to sketch it or model it or even start to build it. Like, on the graph of that maker high, like, it, like you're saying, it breaks through the top of the paper.
Yep.
And then hopefully you have enough of the skills in all of the different kind of disciplines that you can – like you become a master builder, like in the Lego movie.
Yeah, you're like building the track as you go down the roller coaster in front of you. Right?
Well, if I got to do this, then I can use that thing, and then I can use this, and I can put those two things together, and then I have this material, and I have this type of tool that, you know, you slowly start to accrue. And that's like, that's the MacGyver part in me. But I don't purposely put myself in an environment where I'm only working in like Q-tips and a bottle of rubbing alcohol. Like, when you have the skills and you start to earn more, or you start to have more equipment around you, like it makes being MacGyver easier. But like solving a silly problem, whether it's like, oh, we need to make an Optimus Prime Transformer gun. I'm like, okay, sure. Like, why not? There's no reason we can't do that. There's no reason we can't do anything. So whether it's a table, so somebody can eat dinner, or something as silly as a 4 foot long cartoon gun. Like, okay. That to me is the same thing. It's hard for me to differentiate one versus the other, because it's still like someone comes to me and go, I need to make this. It could be literally anything. And I go, okay, let's figure it out. That sounds fun. Pineapple upside down cake? Sure, why not?
Yes, please.
All right. So like, and not making videos about it, I guess, for my own channel, because it's weird. I'm in this weird in between. Making a video about it is great, but that to me is the most secondary, or like that's in the trunk in my like excitement to get that information out. Like if I could work like in a college or a makerspace or in like a marketing agency where someone's like, oh, we need to have this weird thing, it needs to do a weird thing, it needs to be made of weird material, we need it tomorrow. I go, sweet, let's do it. Like if I never made another video about it like that, I would still be so happy just to get a silly thing, a silly concept, and make that silly concept a reality, that in all of my ability will be put toward never having to see that thing again because it broke. Like, nope, go. It's going to work forever. Enjoy. Go and do good things. Who is next?
That's cool.
We might have to have a part two to this, or like kind of extend the conversation, because as you guys are talking, like five other things like came into mind. You know, going back and thinking about all the other builds that I've done, I'm like, oh yeah, I made that. Oh yeah, I made that. But I forget because they didn't get the attention that some of the other ones did, but they were the pragmatic ones. They were the practical ones. In fact, two of the things I did, I'm probably most proud of, I didn't have videos for, and I don't have them anymore because I sold them.
Yeah, my favorite project to date had an Instructable written about it, and that's as far as I ever cared to take it because I was so happy at the thing. I'm like, this is great. It's going to solve so many problems. That the like, hey, maybe you should tell everybody in mass media about how you did it. I'm like, well, I might not have done it in a way that I want to tell everybody how I did it. Like, that's the military in me. Like, you just don't ask questions. You want a thing, right, to do a bunch of silly stuff? Like, yeah, but don't ask me how I did it. Just be happy that you have it in your hand.
All right, so what are you guys geeking out about this week?
Who's going to see Captain Marvel?
I think we're going this weekend.
I'm going next Saturday.
I'm going to wait till it's on Amazon. I have no interest in Marvel movies anymore. I'm done. So if you guys...
Did something break for you?
I don't know.
You're sitting there dressed as Captain America.
I know. Because
show us where the captain touched you.
I know. And I've got, you know, like Winter Soldier under that because it was in our costume box. Because this is the best Captain America movie. They just kind of went really downhill after that. But
so it was a quality, like they just, you just lost interest.
I just hate how formulaic they are, and okay. I'm bored of them. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm gonna wait till it's on Amazon.
Okay, respect.
Yeah. And there's not an Art Geek challenge this month for Captain Marvel. It's Futurama, so I can focus on that and get away with not seeing it in theaters.
Josh, what are you thinking about? You brought up Captain Marvel, but I don't know if that was really your pick or not. So
sorry, I threw us off topic.
Speaking of Art of Geek challenge, I'm excited because we got a new logo. We got a logo.
Right.
Go check it on Instagram. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet. I can't wait for the sticker or the patch or whatever we make for it.
I need one really bad.
Yeah,
I actually might have a build for Art of Geek this month.
Yes.
Maybe.
It's good.
It's going in a good direction.
Yep. The theme for this month is Futurama, if you didn't catch that. Art of Geek Challenge on Instagram.
The additional layer for the Captain Marvel, which makes it extra special, is that we finally got Samantha and Grant up to speed on the Marvel movies. So it's the first one we all were able to go to in the theater and see it.
Cool.
Which that's a lot of work to get there.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious to hear Grant explain, like, anytime they reveal something in one of those movies, he's like, oh, that was Thanos. He's going to look for the Infinity Stone. And then like someone's like, you know, like, oh, what happened to that Infinity Stone? Where did that go? He's like, and you know, like, tracking like from movie to movie where the different ones are, like, oh, where did he get that one? Like when he shows up in Infinity War and he has the purple one already at the beginning, and Samantha's like, or Catherine's like, oh, where did he get that stone? He's like, he got that from the Guardians of the Galaxy people, you know, like from Xandar or whatever. I'm like, and then they're like, no. And I look, they look over at me. I'm like, yeah, he's right. Yeah.
Recognize.
Yeah. He's got this encyclopedic knowledge for all things Marvel. He doesn't know all of his letters right there now, but damn it. He knows A to Z Marvel characters. So, I mean, priorities, people, come on.
I have no idea what I'm geeking out about right now. Maybe all the, my silly little trinkets. Like, all my trinkets have been in a box. Like, Sean, every week we do this podcast, and you're sitting in front of your bookcase with all of your fun, nerdy doodads and baubles and trinkets on your table back there. And mine have been in boxes because we haven't had a place to put them, or everywhere is apparently in limits for my kids just to come take and break stuff. So I'm really excited. This is
what it's like having kids.
Yeah. Like, my Millennium Falcon is back there, and like my favorite Lego sets, like I get to actually display them and I get to play with them and take them out, and like, it's nice. That's I hope feeling. That we're going to be able to actually like make a physical kind of barrier in this room to like legitimately keep them out with like a retina scanner and things. And
I can't wait to see how you guys do that, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm excited that all the little things, and it's from a lot of stuff is from the past. And so it's got to this silly NES game that I was showing. And like, this is the first bowl that I ever turned. And like, I forgot that I had this stuff. Oh, man. You guys remember this?
Yep.
Yep.
Back when fidget spinners were cool, Tony Rouleau made me a fidget spinner out of my PI Workshop logo. Forgot I even had this.
The best one.
Until it fell down and hit me on my pinky toe, and I almost started crying. Because the thing weighs like 4 pounds. Stainless steel. So yeah, I've been geeking out about all the stuff that I've had forever, and I just now get to unbox it, so it's like a brand new.
Cool. When I was at Maker Faire, I got to meet Jesse Ueda.
You keep saying Maker Faire.
Oh, gosh, sorry. Workbench Con. When I was at Workbench Con, I talked to Jesse Ueda, and after Workbench Con, she went back and talked to Brett McAfee over at Skull and Spades, because she's like, you have a kindred spirit. Me. Anyways, and so she told me to get in contact with him. I got in contact with him, subscribed to his YouTube channel, and I have been binging on everything that that guy has done, because holy cow. he's a kindred spirit, but definitely on the blacksmithing side of making, which I know nothing about and just fascinated with. So I've been geeking out over his videos and everything that he's created. So that's what I've been geeking out about. And it's Workbench Con, not Maker Faire. Workbench Con.
Do you want to know the silly Scrubs-like video that flashed in my mind whenever you were talking about the word? You said blacksmithing.
What?
It's not derogatory, but it might come off this way. But it was like, hi, I'm Donovan, and today I'm going to make a blacksmithing project. And then you're like, you holding a hairdryer or a Bic lighter or sitting it on the eye of your stove. And then it taking like a week. And you're like, I don't know why this thing isn't working. Because you have to take the hardest way.
I take the hardest way to do things. Over a gas stove. I just got to get it up to temperature.
It technically would work.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to break out of this stereotype somehow, some way.
I'm geeking out about some videos that were released recently about the new Star Wars land at Disneyland. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, I think is what the full title is. And there's like a 15-minute video that kind of outlined a lot of the main things in the attraction. I thought it was just really cool. But strangely enough, I don't know if I want to go. I just think it's cool that it's going to exist.
You know, the concepts show like this very open area with like only a couple people there. But then I've seen other people like show the real life mock-up, and it's just like wall-to-wall people like, oh, wow, I can't get in anywhere.
They had to redesign half of the park for the anticipated crowds that are going to be going and having to pass through there.
It's going to be ridiculous.
And I mean, I don't live that far away from Disneyland. I live about 30 miles away from it. I don't think I'm going to go for a couple of years. I don't like big crowds of people, and as cool as that is, I think I can wait and stay away. I'll watch some crappy cell phone videos.
On a,
and,
rainy day.
You know, the amount of people that have season passes, it'll still be crowded. Yeah. And it doesn't rain that well. It rains a lot here right now, but it doesn't usually rain here most times.
Yeah, it's funny. When I worked at Disney World in Florida, there would be hurricanes. They don't shut the park down for anything, except for like there's like twice that I can remember that they've shut the park. But even in a hurricane, there's still people with their $15 ponchos just going, we're going to get a fast pass to Rock and Roller Coaster. I mean, I can believe it. And Disneyland is such a smaller area that even a small amount of people can make it seem crowded. Gosh.
All right. Well, we would love to hear from all of you. Go ahead and visit the website, makinggeeks.com. Check out the contact page. That is where you can send us any questions you have or make any suggestions for the show. And on the homepage of the site, you can listen to all of our past episodes right there on makinggeeks.com.
If you want to follow us on social media besides here on YouTube, you can find the Making Geeks podcast at the Making Geeks podcast. You can find Josh over at the PI Workshop or with the work that he does at Bob over at I Like to Make Stuff. Sean can be found at Geeksmithing, Geek Builders. Dang it. It's not going to be the last time I'm going to do that. Wes can be found at Geeksmithing. I can be found at Once Upon a Workbench. Gosh, I'm fired.
That's right. Izzy Swan calls me Wes.
That's right. He does.
Yeah.
He totally does.
He called Wes Swan.
That's true. I could see how he would do that.
Yep.
When I helped him with his website for a couple years, for the first 6 months as I was typing his name, I would always put Swain because it starts, the same. It's just habit. But yeah. I'd like to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks for keeping us on the air in many different ways and keeping us with the ability to go to different events such as Maker Faire. We're putting all their ducks in a row so we can go to Bay Area Maker Faire, hopefully in an official context, but if nothing else, we'll be wandering around. I got my plane ticket. I got the Airbnb, and the Airbnb is not possible without the contributions from our Patreon members. So definitely thank you guys for that. Give us the ability to come out there and meet everybody. We'd like to thank our top patron, Clinton from C3D Prop Shop. Thank you so much for being our top patron. We appreciate it.
And to reiterate, that Airbnb is only being used by two of the Making Geeks, and it's supported by other people in the community. I couldn't get a room in that Airbnb because there were way more people.
We got space now.
Oh, well, okay. But let you know that the funds that we do get and the support we get on Patreon goes back to the community. It's not just like, oh, we bought you guys plane tickets so you could go to California. Like, that's not happening.
That's true. That's true.
So
we've got 8 people signed up for the Airbnb so far.
Wow.
And they're not 8 people in this podcast. So
do the math. That is 2 people from this podcast are going to be in there. So thank you for everybody for that. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for everybody hanging out with us in the live chat on YouTube. You can come participate in the conversation at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. And you can find the show on your podcast player every Saturday. And so from all of us to all of you, we hope you had a fantastic week.
See ya.
Take care.
Chess Pokututa Krista Krenko. Ja Oscar.
Yes, I bet you have. Sorry about the mess. Yeah, I'm gonna get it.